What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the Give Me Understanding podcast. I'm Aaron Dodson. Psalm 119, verse 34 best describes this podcast. The psalmist in the long ago wrote, "Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text and do my best to help others understand it. Recently, I've been considering a Bible correspondence course written by a brother and gospel preacher, Alan Webster. In this episode, I'll be considering Lesson 4, A Study of Covenants. Some will speak of many covenants in addition to what I would describe as the Mosaic covenant and the Christian covenant, or the covenant of Christ, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament. They speak of covenants that God made with Adam and Abraham and Noah, David, and I don't deny that. What I find interesting in the book of Hebrews, or the letter we call Hebrews, he doesn't really get into much of those. He mentioned some about Melchizedek and priesthood and so forth. He talks about promises God made to Abraham. But when he speaks of covenant in those passages, he speaks of the old and the new. And so in this episode, I'll be focusing on the old and the new. But let me begin by asking this question. What would you say is the most misunderstood page in the Bible? Maybe the first page that includes Genesis 1, the creation of the world. Perhaps the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9. What about the Valley of Dry Bones in Exodus 37? What about the page with Mark 16:16 on it? Or the 666 of Revelation 13? Perhaps the thousand-year reign in Revelation 20? Those are more complex chapters and sections and pages of the Bible. But probably a very strong case can be made that the most misunderstood page in the Bible is the one between the Old Testament and the New Testament. For us to correctly understand the Bible must be handled correctly. It must be rightly divided, 2 Timothy 2:15. Today, many in the religious world who profess Christianity try to live under at least part of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. That's not a new problem. Three books of the New Testament focus on this subject: Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. These letters were written to people who were trying either to live under the old law or to argue that they needed to live under both the Old and the New Testament in the first century times. Today, we live under only the new covenant of Christ. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, Galatians 3, 19 through 25. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Code, as it's sometimes described, is no longer in force. I believe Romans 7 and Hebrews 8 and Galatians 3 teach this very clearly. Clearly enough, that's for sure. This episode, I'm going to divide into two parts. Well, maybe three parts. The first part is, how do we know that Christians are to follow only the New Testament or the New Covenant today? I'm going to give you at least three reasons that I'd like for you to contemplate with me. First, we know that we are under the new covenant because the old covenant foreshadowed greater things to come, which we learn in the New Testament would be its fulfillment and its being taken out of the way and being brought to pass in the new. Early in the Mosaic period, God hinted that change would eventually come. He told Moses that he would raise up another prophet like him, Deuteronomy 18, 15 and 18. And each generation in Israel after that was on the lookout for that prophet. Read John 1, 21 and 25, John 6, 14. Later, that prophet was clearly identified is Christ, according to the Apostle Peter and Stephen, Acts 3:22-23, Acts 7:37. What did God mean by a prophet like unto Moses? There were a lot of prophets who came after Moses. Many of them were great, I mean super great in their own right. David, Isaiah, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, etc. But none of them was like unto Moses. Moses was the deliverer of God's people from bondage. Moses was God's lawgiver. And no other Old Testament seer could lay claim to those that they were deliverers and lawgivers. The new covenant begins by announcing the birth of one who could. Christ is pictured as the deliverer. He was God's new lawgiver. On the Mount of Transfiguration, you may remember Peter wanted to build three tents, three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. God insisted, "This is my beloved Son, hear him," Matthew 17:5. So at the end of the days of the Mosaic age, God was speaking through his Son, and God spoke from heaven even, speaking of Jesus, that Jesus was his only begotten or beloved Son, I should say, and that they were to hear him. Again, these are things technically that were under the old covenant system or were taking place and being implemented during the old covenant system that foreshadowed greater things to come. There had been a time to hear Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets, but the time had come to hear the new lawgiver and the new prophet, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1:1-2. There are other passages that are sometimes referenced that point to the fulfillment or the ending of the old covenant. And some of those I've been studying more on my own because I want to make sure I don't take those passages out of context and misunderstand them. What I do know is that the old law was engraved in stones, and the new law would be engraved on their hearts. And you read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So I believe that we can know today that we are under the new covenant because the old covenant foreshadowed greater things to come. Second, we can know that we're under the new covenant today because the early history of the church makes it clear that a change had taken place. The law of Moses contained strict dietary restrictions, Leviticus 11. In a vision, God told Peter to eat animals that were unclean under that law, Acts 11:5-10, as a way to show Peter that Gentiles could be saved. Since God tempts no person to sin, James 1:13, if the law of Moses were still in effect, God would not have told Peter to eat these animals. But since no meats are to be refused under the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:4, God could require this and not tempt Peter or even test him to sin. The Jews had heard the apostles preach, and they understood that they were speaking of a change from the law of Moses, Acts 6:13-14. When Paul was in Corinth and Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law," Acts 18:12-13. The Jews in Jerusalem were convinced that Paul taught all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk after their customs, Acts 21:21. They correctly perceived that the apostles were teaching against the law, or at least were not teaching the same law. They weren't. They were not teaching the Mosaic law anymore. The Jews thought that Paul and the other apostles were wrong, but they clearly understood that the apostles were teaching that the old covenant had been fulfilled by the new covenant. And so we can know we're under the New Testament or the New Covenant because the early history of the church makes it clear that a change had taken place. Third, we know we are under the New Covenant because the epistles explain the old law has been replaced or fulfilled by the New Covenant. in 2 Corinthians, Paul proclaimed that the old law was done away. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 11. He speaks of the ministration of death written and engraved in stones. The old law, that it was glorious. But the ministration of the Spirit, the gospel, was more glorious. 2 Corinthians 3, 8 and 9. As Christians, we have been liberated from the old law. Galatians 5, 13. There are several other passages that some would refer to in the letters, and you can consider them on your own. Ephesians 2, 15, and Colossians 2, 14. Perhaps there are some others, but I would like for us to consider in this episode Hebrews. Hebrews is one of my favorites. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. In this letter, the writer used the illustration of the priesthood to show the law had changed. The Old Testament priest under Moses' law came from the tribe of Levi. Hebrews 7:11 says, "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron?" For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And so, Christ, the Old Testament priest, under Moses' law, came from the tribe of Levi. But Christ, he was from the tribe of Judah. Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. That is Moses' law, Hebrews 7, 15 through 17. Thus, Jesus could not be a priest if the law of Moses were still binding. The point is that there had to be a change in the law in order for Christ to be a high priest. Hebrews 7, verse 12. Those who hold on to the old law must necessarily reject Christ as high priest. Many today make the same mistake that some early Jewish Christians made. They try to observe part of the Old Covenant and part of the New Covenant. They pick some things that appeal to them from the Old Covenant and merge them with teachings from the New Covenant. Some like Sabbath or Saturday worship. Some want to bring over incense, tithing, or instrumental music. Others like its less strict rules on divorce and remarriage. Deuteronomy 24, Matthew 19, verse 8. God does not allow us to mix the laws. In fact, the consequences of trying to live under the old law today are serious. One who takes one thing from the old law is responsible for continuing in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3:10, James 2, 10 through 11. That is, if we take part of it, we have to take all of it, including animal sacrifices, feast days, annual trips to Jerusalem, and stoning disobedient children. Even if one today could keep the entire Old Covenant law, he would still be lost because he rejected Christ's law in order to embrace the old law. The New Covenant provides the sacrifice of the Son of God. The old did not. To keep the old covenant today is tantamount to falling from grace. You say, what? Yes, it is. Paul wrote to the churches at Galatia, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you have become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every person who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." I think Galatians chapter 3, especially the latter part of it, is yet another section of Scripture that validates this fact that I'm trying to emphasize in this part of part 1. that we can know we're under the new covenant? Because the epistles explain that the old law has been fulfilled and taken away by the new. Galatians 3, verse 22 through 29 is the section of Galatians 3 to which I am referring. But then there's a second part that I'd like for us to consider in this study of covenants. Not only that we can know that we are to only follow the new covenant today, but does this mean that we do not have to keep the Ten Commandments today? Many religious people, and many unreligious people even, hold firmly to the idea of keeping the Ten Commandments. They're surprised to learn that the Ten Commandments, as such, are no longer required. But before you might assume that that means we can worship idols or disobey our parents or commit adultery or murder or steal or lie, I'm very quick to add that the New Covenant still forbids these actions. First, consider that the New Covenant clearly teaches that the Ten Commandments from the Law of Moses are no longer binding, particularly 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians 3, really verse 7 through 16. The law that was written and engraved in stones is done away, abolished. Paul said that those who still follow the old law have minds that are blinded and have a veil over their hearts. That's clear enough. And whoever of you who are justified by the law are fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4. Second, this does not give permission to sin. We today cannot dishonor our parents or steal or commit adultery. We're not to keep any part of the old law. We must keep all of the new covenant. But many commandments are common in both. Among them are the standards of holiness and respect for God. The New Testament does not have a list in one place of the Ten Commandments. But each of the Ten Commandments, except the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, is taught in the New Testament. So I keep nine of the Ten Commandments today, and so should you, not because they're in the Old Testament, but because they're taught in the New Covenant. For example, no other gods before me. Well, that's taught in Ephesians 4:6. No carved images to bow down and serve. That's taught in 1 Corinthians 10:14. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's taught in James 5:12. Honor your father and your mother. That's taught in Ephesians 6:1. No, don't murder. That's taught in 1 John 3:15. Don't commit adultery. That's taught in Hebrews 13:4. Don't steal. That's taught in Ephesians 4:28. Don't lie. That's taught in Colossians 3:9. And finally, don't covet. The things of others. That's taught in Colossians 3, verse 5. Third, the new covenant is a great improvement over the old law. The main reason is because it's based on Jesus' new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Part 3, and finally, a brief comparison of the old covenant and the new covenant. There are some differences between the covenants in memorable ways. The new completes what the old commences. The old focuses on Sinai, the new on Calvary. The old is associated with Moses, the new with Christ. The old begins with God, the new begins with Christ. The old was given to Israel, the new was given to all nations. The old was given through Moses, the new was given through Christ. The old was dedicated by animal blood. The new was dedicated by Christ's blood. The old required temporary animal sacrifices. The new has a permanent one-time, the God-man sacrifice. The old was unable to purge the conscience, Hebrews 10:2. The new purges the conscience, Hebrews 9:14. The old could not permanently take away sins, Hebrews 10:11. The new takes away sin, Hebrews 10:12. The old was done away, 2 Corinthians 3:11. The new remains, 2 Corinthians 3:11. The old was fulfilled and abolished. The new is everlasting, Hebrews 13:20. Under the new law, we are not called Israelites per se, although we are beneficiaries of the promises made to Israel, but we have been given the name Christian. Under the new law, we are not members of the physical nation of Israel, but spiritual Israel, the church. Under the new law, there is a new teaching or new doctrine, the fulfillment of the old, the gospel, the good news of Christ. There was a new all-encompassing commandment to practice, love your neighbor as yourself, Luke 10:27. There was a new priesthood to serve all believers, all Christians, Hebrews 7:24-28. There is a new feast in which to participate under the new, the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26:26-29. And there's a new day on which to worship, the Lord's Day, not the Sabbath, but the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7, and Revelation 1, verse 10. Well, this has been a 21-minute study of covenants, and I hope that it's benefited you. And if it has, please share this episode with others and continue to tune in to the Give Me Understanding podcast. Thank you so much to those who are downloading these episodes, and I hope and trust that they've been beneficial to you. God bless you, and we'll catch you next time.